Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love him. And he loves us, and he's with us. You know, one of Jesus' names is God with us, and he is with us by the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you have to treasure his word. You have two choices. You can treasure his word or trash his word. Now, trashing his word don't sound right. You know that's wrong. That's the worst thing you can do. But people do it because of challenges. Sometimes people cling to what they believe already. And all knowledge came from some source. Real knowledge only comes from God. The enemy, his knowledge, it's not knowledge. It's not of God. It is deception. It is sin. The knowledge of Satan is always sin. It's false. It can't represent the heart of God. And when God gave Abraham his promises, when he told him what to do, he showed us three challenges that we all gonna have to deal with. He said, "Now this is the false things that we get in life." Genesis 12. Verse 1 says, "Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country." Your country has a persuasion, a school of thought, a way of doing things, a habit system, a culture. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Well, people who live in a country, they receive instructions. They, you know, they're in the mix. They're dealing with people that think a certain way. And there are schools of thought. And from thy father's house into a land that I will show you. He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, because we partake of this same blessing, if you're going to listen to what God has to say, it's going to supersede what was known. But you got to, he's showing us all through this, the need to reject what is false, even if it comes from people you care about. A lie is a lie. It don't turn into a lie if somebody you like tells it to you. If they speak it, that don't mean it's good. If I get deceived somewhere, or any man of God, for that matter, and speak it, it is not sanctioned just because I'm speaking it. The things that sanction is the word of God. The Holy Spirit cannot follow a lie with signs and wonders. He can't put his stamp of approval on it. When men of God, every man of God who speak the word of God, the Lord will follow it with signs and wonders, even if it's just a confirmation to the people who hear it. I can't count the times that my pastors, Pastor Jim McCann III, Pastor Jim McCann IV, it don't matter which one I preach. We'll be in the Sunday school, having church, speaking the things God gave us. Whoever preached, it don't matter who it is, then they'll say something that we say or use the same scriptures or references every time it happens. Not just a few times, every single time. When people speak by the Holy Spirit, then that's something that's in the Holy Spirit inspires David when he do Sunday school. Then he give me what, you know, I come back with something similar then one of the whoever preached, they say they tag it too. Why? Because it's inspired speech. It's not of this world. Now, if I go sideways and start saying something that God didn't sanction, there's always, if you notice it, there's an unrest to things that's wrong. But when it's true, it's always noticeable, always. Every time Jesus spoke, even his enemies knew he was right. Their solution to this to their perceived problem was to get rid of Jesus, because they couldn't do nothing with him, they couldn't trick him, they couldn't tangle him up in his words, they couldn't prove him wrong. There was no holes in his doctrine. There was no holes in his doctrine. Why? Because he spent time with his Father. See, Jesus did things in order. Satan, he tried to get Jesus to break order. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you be the Son of God, throw yourself off this cliff. You fall down and worship me, I give you all the kingdoms of the earth. He put him in a place where he could see him. It's all the kingdoms. And he knew God loved the people. Now, Satan's tactics didn't work. Why? Because there was no leaven in Jesus. Jesus is unleavened. In order to cross the line, you have to have a leaven of hate somewhere. You have to be willing to disregard what God said. And people do it. Or you have to believe a lie. There's no leaven. A lie is leaven. Lust is leaven. Greed is leaven. You know. Pride is definitely leaven. So, he was pure and dedicated to God. The Lord wants to show us a land that we haven't seen. I'm not talking about dirt. I'm talking about a glory. There are glories we must enter into. Or there are glories available to enter into. But these are three challenges you're going to have to deal with. Get thee out of that country. How is your country persuaded? Can you say it's a... See, if Abraham's country was conducive to what God was doing, he wouldn't have had to get him to leave. Get thee out of that country. They are not conducive to what I'm doing. Get thee out of that kindred. They are not conducive to what I'm doing. And get thee from thy father's house. They're not conducive to what I'm doing. He had to take his own house. Now, when Lot went with him, and Abraham allowed it, that wasn't obedience. But Lot was wise for wanting to go. He saw something in Uncle Abraham. He saw something in him. He left with him. If I was Lot, I'd want to do the same thing. Now, on one hand, Lot was he wanted the best land. He was a wise man for who he was. But even Lot wasn't conducive for what God was doing. But when Lot went to Sodom, they vexed his spirit because he was a righteous man. How is it that a righteous man is not conducive to what God is doing? This is why. The glories of the Lord is greater than what people know. You have to enter into it. If you have any leaven somewhere, you can't enter into it. So, even a righteous man, there are some things he's just not going to know. Or he won't be willing to enter into. You have to have a heart like Abraham had. You have to be a person. If you become a person that can write God a blank check, I'm with Lord, I treasure you. You're my treasure. I'll do whatever you say, whenever you say it, however you say it. And I don't care what you do with my life. Take my life and do something with it. That's the kind of person, and that's the only kind of person that can enter into the glories of God. People that reject the doctrines of this world and go forward steadfastly, unmovable, always abounding in the things of God or the works of God, either one. Now, in yesterday's broadcast, Truly Free, some people believe they're free, but they're not fully and truly free. Now, those who are truly free, they break ties. They break not only ties with the world, but all ties with the world. And they love, see, you may not, you may, a person can have things in a blind spot. But when you you're dedicated to the love of God, the Holy Spirit can compensate you. You may not know of something over here, but the Holy Spirit does. But you can love God so much that you can enter into knowledge, and you can overcome what you don't see. You can overcome all forms of reluctance if you love God enough to proceed. And I've done it, and I've seen others do it. I even heard about girls who were young mothers. You know, against all odds, they would take care of their child, get a job, put themselves through medical school, and still become a doctor. Or that they won't know what to do with that child. They love that child so much, they get it figured out. They get the right help. They are motivated. They may not know how to prosper. They may not know about healing. But they get the job done. They go to church. I've seen this. When people love somebody, they get it figured out. And they do things that's just over the top. I've seen some awesome people in my life over the years. You know, that was a couple, you know, my daughter had special needs. So we, at her school, that was a kid that was shaken by his parents, and they messed his spine up. And he was a vegetable, basically. And they took care of him and four or five other kids, this couple. And they loved those children. They found a way to help them. And nothing wrong was, you know, they took the child from his parents, and they became his foster parents. And they take in children, and, you know, I said, they really love it. You could tell they love those children. Love finds a way to do impossible things. But see, in yesterday's broadcast, a lot of people they think they're free. They swallowed the bait and the hook, but they're swimming on a slack line. Now, Satan is an opportunist. He's been in the presence of God before. He can impress us, but he don't impress God. And I know how he fights, because I've been fighting him for a long time. I know a lot of his tactics. He's an opportunist. If he tempts you, if he gives you a thought, and you don't, and it goes unchecked, he'll let it grow and wait. You're just running on a slack line. You didn't reject that thought, and he'll set you up to fall. And when he think in his mind that you're weak enough, and you're about to enter into, especially if you're about to enter into a greater glory, he'll set the hook. Just like a fisherman trying to catch crappie. All fishermen can't catch crappie because they got thin lips. You have to know how to set the hook just enough to bring him on in. And a bass, you know, bass are strong, big ones. They know how to cut the line on a rock. So you have to make them tired. You have to ease, you have to keep the line taut and ease it and reel it in, make him tired, and then you can inch him on in. I'm not the best fisherman in the world, but I've talked to people who do catch fish and know what they're doing. Now, things that keep you away from the glory, reluctance and things like that. One day in Sunday school class, I said, if God ever tell you to do something and you're reluctant, find out why. Ask the question, why am I reluctant? I don't like to see people walk away like the rich young ruler. The moment you take a footstep away from the plan of God, a sorrow comes with it. But the moment you, no matter how insurmountable it looks, when you decide, I'm going to do this, when you're doing God's will, and he always wants you to do something way impossible for a man anyway. But when you say, I'm going to do this, and a peace comes over you, always follow the peace and stick with it and prepare. We can mount up. I'm not so discouraged by a feeling of reluctance. Once I'm alerted to it, I want to know, okay, Lord, help me kill this reluctance. Help me kill whatever this root is. And I ask him to explain to me what it is when I don't know. See, with Abraham, we're surrounded by reluctance. Let's look at verse 1 again. Now, the Lord has said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. Some people are good people. You know, Abraham sent his servant back to his kindred to get a wife for his son, because he had been around and he saw how people live, and they were the best people on earth. You're more apt to get this done right if we get somebody that loves God. This shows us that who you marry is very important for your future generations. This shows us if the will of God is important to you, you got to start with somebody that's like-minded. This shows us God needs to be included in our major decisions. And he can be included in every decision. And he's more apt to be included in every decision when you write him a blank check, when you give him your whole life, when he's your king, when he can tell you what to do, and you serve him in joy, not reluctance. You're not just obedient, but you're willing and obedient. And that's what I'm talking about. Everything that you do from this point on, you can make quality decisions, and God will help you. The Holy Spirit will guide you, usher you into all truth. You don't have to be in the dark about anything. Everything is very important. If you do what you're supposed to do, you can win in life. If you follow God, you can win and not lose. If you do it God's way, you're going to be great. Now, the Lord had me teaching about following God for a long time. So then he gave me revelation to help people follow God. So I said, Lord, what kind of revelation is this you're giving me? He said, it's dynamics. He teach me dynamics. And a lot of people, they do follow God and manage to do exactly what God wants them to do. And they're on their way to doing greater. Some people level off. But they don't know the dynamics of following God. I got it by revelation from God. He brought it to me. And the reason I want people to know it, even if they are doing it, I want them to know it so that they can secure the next generation. You know, a lot of pastors will go to Rob Parson, how did you do it? How did you make a worldwide ministry in a cornfield? He said, I don't know. You chase God and it works and it happens. He said that Pastor Jackson, I went up there with Pastor Jackson. Rob Parsley is his pastor. He would go up there once a year. He said, every year, often, pastors would fly from all over the U.S. and ask him how he built his church. He said, I don't know. You chase God and it happens. And if you're in love with God and you keep doing what he say, then he can increase. You're going to enter into greater glories. You don't have to really know the dynamics of it, but it's important. Now it's important because that kind of sincerity needs to be protected. The enemy, all right, look at it from his standpoint. He's been studying our dedication and our sincerity and with our weaknesses. And he's been, in his wild mind, he's trying to figure out how to shut it down. So he's learning just like we're learning. And he's motivated. So he's afraid. He's not perfect. And he's not wise either. Not from God's standards anyway. He was. He was given wisdom, but he uses it in reverse. So that's not wisdom anymore, is it? He's wise to do evil. Bring things down. Not to be underestimated. But if you know what to watch out for, you can overcome his next plots. So when God give me something to do, the first thing I do is bless it. I speak life over it. I speak to my will about it. I will do this. I bind myself to it. Then I reject the darkness. I reject the attacks. I tell Satan, you can't attack this. This is established before God. And there's nothing you can do about it. I protect my works. There's nothing you can do against this work. There's no government, no fallen angels, no nothing you got can touch this. This is holy property. The works that God has given me to do cannot be tampered with by you in Jesus' name. And then I protect my people. I say my house is protected. My children, I name them, Shana, Shire, Thurston. My wife, Alicia. Olivia, my daughter. I protect, you can't attack my kin people. You can't attack my church family. You can't cause division anywhere. And then I live a life that God can rest upon. Sometimes I say, where in the world is Satan? What is he? It's like he's out of sight, out of mind. But I know he's trying to do something. Sometimes at random, I just say, Satan, whatever your plan is against me, it's a dead plan. It can't work in Jesus' name. Shut the whole thing down. I learned this from Kenneth Copeland. You don't have to wait till things get out of hand to do something about it. A prophet I know said, you got information in your house. He said, you got a word from God in your house. We're outside the house. I said, okay, let's go look. So I went to my magazines. I had a Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. I had another magazine by James Robinson. And then he said, that's it right there. It was by Kenneth Copeland. And then we opened it up and looked. And he had an article. This helped me out. It taught me to fight offensively. He said, if in the article read that the Lord showed Kenneth Copeland, if Chicago had dealt with Al Capone while he was small, it wouldn't have taken an army to get him out. And the Lord told Kenneth Copeland, when you know you're going to preach somewhere, do warfare against that date. Stop Satan ahead of time. If you know you're going to preach months ahead of time, start doing warfare so it'll go. And I did it. And the first time I did that, everything went smooth. But before that, I had all kind of satanic activity against me. And the Lord opened my eyes. That word of the Lord helped my ministry. and it taught me how to fight. And this was before I learned to be the soldier that after this was before the gunfight started. This was before I read the listened to the Kenneth Hagin tapes about Believer's Authority. But I was a fighter. I learned to fight many different ways. And he was, and so you have to reject the darkness. Now, I said something in yesterday's broadcast, and I want to illustrate it. First, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:18. In other broadcasts, we're going to look at this a little closer. I saw something, and it actually begins in 2 Corinthians 2. Second Corinthians 2:3, verse 18. Now, I'll go ahead of it a few verses, but to get the full effect, you got to read 2 and 3. It's about the glory of God. Okay. Let's see here. A good place to start. My time is ending. I got to hurry up. So, all right, let's go to 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? See, it's following another thought. Or need we, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of condemnation from you? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. See, people are epistles too, is pointing that out. I like to get the build up first before I get to verse 18, but okay, this is why. It's given us a lot of insight. Verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. And not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And that's very important, and the enemy knows this too. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. This is very important. No, you may not be able to quote the word, but you still have the meaning of it. The spirit of the word is the collective understanding of the scriptures, and when you live it, other people can see it and read it too. Verse 7. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? See, this is invisible glory, but it's noticeable. For if the ministration of the condemnation be glory, much more doeth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. We make it plain for you, because everybody can enter into this. Verse 13, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They're blind to God because they have leaven in it, in their hearts. And that's not a script. I'm just adding that to it to make it plain. The veil is still again in the heart of those who have pride, the Jews, who were blinded by Isaiah. Verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So when people turn to the Lord in sincerity, then they can understand. You see that? You can enter into greater glories of understanding. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all of us, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So you can enter into greater revelation, which is a glory. Greater realms of understanding. Every time you enter into one, your abilities increase, your advice increases, your persuasion increases, your lifestyle increases, your prosperity increases, your ability to use faith increases with it. Every time I enter into a glory, I did better everywhere. Everywhere. Not that I'm perfect, but I did, compared to how I was, I did a whole lot better. And I walked in a greater joy. Now, I said on another broadcast, this is why we grow from glory to glory, not level to level. There's nothing about a level. People say that. I understand it. It's not wrong. But we really grow from glory to glory. See, people will be more responsible if you call it a glory rather than a level. Because a level, that means you're rising above others. And some people say, well, I don't want to be in pride. But guess what? If you go to the next glory, you're going to be more. It's like Jesus said, if you bear fruit, I'll purge you so you'll bear more fruit. You can bear more fruit if you grow to the next glory.